Welcome back to Afternoons Live. We're keeping with the old rap vibe, and I love it. It reminds me of high school, and that'll never get old. I'm at the point now where I'm the guy who's like, what's this new rap music? I can't work out to anything else. I go back to my same playlist, the person I never thought I'd be.
Yeah, well, but 90s rap is the best rap. So you're correct. It just happens to be you don't want to be that guy.
Right. It's a Venn diagram. It's the same circle. All right. Dane DeCray. We're in the 4 o'clock hour of Afternoons Live. I am sitting in for Tyler Axness, who's in for Joel. And there are quite a few comments coming in wondering about Joel's run for governor. And as much as I like to joke, I probably should walk this back a little bit. Anytime there's guests out who can't defend themselves here, it is an open shot by me. I genuinely do not believe, hold the phone, that Joel Heitkamp is running for governor. It would be very funny if somehow he did later on, and I would have the scoopiest scoop of all time. I unfortunately think it's far less nefarious. He's enjoying baseball, probably some beers, some peanuts, so in fairness to Joel, he's not running for governor as of now. My next guest on a topic near and dear to my heart is a man named Travis Fink. He is the head of the North Dakota Public Defender System. And there was recently, maybe yesterday, I'm going to ask him to make sure, a report that came out talking about the horrible state of the public defender system in North Dakota. And I wanted to bring him on. It's a little bit harder here. He's not in studio. He's working hard in Bismarck, but he's on the phone. Travis, can you hear me?
I can, Dane. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for taking the time today. I really appreciate you coming in on this important topic.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'll throw it out to you because, you know, this is your wheelhouse more than mine. I was a federal public defender, so I was a public defender too, but not in the state system. So what's this report? What's the problem? What's going on?
Yeah, I appreciate it. And so the report is I'm statutorily required to provide an annual report to legislative management and my governing commission annually. So that report is typically filed in December, referencing back to the last fiscal year, which would have ended June 30th. And then what happens in the interim years is I'm given the privilege of presenting that annual report to the Interim Judiciary Committee. So last week, there was a meeting of the Interim Judiciary Committee in Bismarck. I was on the agenda, and I presented this annual report. And since that annual report was presented, there's been a couple of articles that have been published across the state regarding the state of indigent defense in North Dakota.
And that is wonderful background. And that is where I found it. You know, I'm pretty deep into this stuff because I'm also a criminal defense lawyer. But people don't really understand what it means to be a public defender, the public defense system, how it's funded. So peel back the veil and tell me about what's going on and why we all should be so concerned.
Sure, I appreciate that. And just to give the listeners a background too, we're a state agency that provides and oversees the delivery of public defense services in the state of North Dakota. We're what's considered a hybrid model where we do have 7 public defender offices across the state, but then we also contract with private attorneys to provide services in areas where we cannot establish public defender offices, or also just in areas where the volume is too much for our attorneys to handle. So that commission is comprised of 7 people. 2 are appointed by the governor, 2 are appointed by the chief justice, 1 from each, the House and the Senate, and then also a member from the State Bar Association Board of Governors. And so they are the commission, and I have the privilege of serving as their executive director. The problem that we're running up against is we are not on par with what is being paid to prosecute cases. So the job of a public defender is to defend cases and provide services when someone has a constitutional right to an attorney, typically most often seen in a criminal context. So when someone is charged with a crime and they can't otherwise afford an attorney, then it's our constitutional mandate as the state to provide that attorney to them. So that's what our agency does. The problem has been we don't have enough people to provide those services. So at the time of the report, we had significant turnover. At the time I presented to the Interim Judiciary Committee, we actually had 9 vacancies at that point. Of those 9 vacancies, 6 of those were attorneys. So in all my public defender offices, that's just the full-time employees. We've also had several contracts that we haven't been able to fill. So what we end up with is we have attorneys that are taking well over the amount of caseloads they should be taking in order to make sure that everyone has an attorney. The concern for me obviously becomes, as the leaders, not only are you entitled to an attorney, you're entitled to a constitutionally effective attorney. And when you start saddling people with more cases than they should be taking, you start to run dangerously close of running afoul of that constitutional mandate of providing that constitutionally effective attorney. So that was the report that I presented to the Interim Judiciary, expressing some of the concerns. The reason we haven't been able to hire staff and contractors is really what we can offer for pay is significantly below both what the court pays their attorneys and also what most counties pay their state's attorneys. So we're really, when you're competing for the same talent and you're offering less money, it's extremely difficult to recruit people.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And we only have a minute till the break, so we're going to talk about it a little bit and probably come on the backside. But I don't understand that logic. I don't understand the difference in pay. It's the same work, just on the opposite side of the aisle. And this is something that was addressed in the federal system. I know that that used to be the same issue. And it was the federal judges who came together and said, look, if you don't fix this, it's going to get worse and worse. And not only are we violating the Constitution, we're hurting lawyers, we're hurting clients, and you're making our job horrible as a judge. And so we're going to go on a break here, Travis, but on the way back, I want you to talk about why on earth we think it's okay to pay one side less than the other when we're doing the same work. This is Afternoons Live. Dane DeCray, Travis will be back after the break. Back on Afternoons Live, this is Dane DeCray sitting in for Tyler Axness. Before the break, I was talking with Travis Fink, the head of the North Dakota State Public Defender System. We were talking about a report that he wrote that has been getting a lot of coverage. It's about the problems with the public defender system. And when we were talking, one of the big things that I said I'd ask after the break was the pay discrepancy between public defender lawyers and prosecution lawyers. So, Travis, I obviously don't agree with it. And I'm sure there's an argument on the other side, but I don't actually agree with that either from what I've heard from people. You tell me why that's wrong and why we should have pay equity.
Yeah, thanks, Dane. I would agree with you. I think there needs to be, at a very minimum, pay equity or resource equity. And in fact, the American Bar Association and their 10 principles of a fundamental public defense system would agree with you as well, as they talk about parity between resources that's provided for prosecution and in defense. I think part of the problem that sometimes arises in a situation like North Dakota are public defense is provided strictly through the state and state funds. So we have a legislature that meets every 2 years, and we're reviewing these budgets and we're trying to project out, whereas counties are paid by the local county governments. The prosecutors are paid through local county governments, and they're closer to their government. So they can go back in when there's changes, and we've seen significant changes and increases across the state as prosecutors have struggled to recruit as well, of them being able to increase the salaries. While we did get an investment from the legislature last session to try and increase, by the time that money was really even dispersed with the start of the new budget, we had seen that we're already starting to fall behind again. So the reality is the way the systems are built, it it will take a significant investment to get us to where we need to be and to start solving some of these problems.
And that's interesting. You know, that makes sense when you say it, but I didn't think about that, how, you know, it's harder in North Dakota because of the biannual session. So if you're listening out there, legislators, you know, get ahead of this because, you know, it's, we're biting the hand that feeds us here. And Eric and I were talking about this on the break. And I think one of the things that people complain about is, well, why do we spend money on these people anyway? They're charged with a crime, blah, blah, blah. And even if you don't want to help these people who have the constitutional right, by the way, I think there's a really good argument that if you don't provide people with good lawyers, it's a drain on the whole system. There's more appeals. There are, you know, it takes more time. That people get worse outcomes. Sometimes people who aren't guilty are found guilty. I mean, these things happen all the time. And so speak to that a little bit, how it's not just about helping these folks who deserve to be paid. And it's not just about helping these defendants who deserve to have a defense. It's about helping the entire process be better and more efficient. Is that right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And, you know, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, you know, those were rights guaranteed to the individual against the government. And inherent within the Sixth Amendment is the right to counsel. So really, you know, that is a right that's guaranteed to each and every individual within this country. There is no constitutional right to have your case prosecuted to the same extent that there is defense. But you talk about system costs, and I think that's important when you talk, you had mentioned people that were convicted. We know the University of Michigan has the Exoneration Center, which keeps track of exonerations. And in 2022 alone, there was 233 exonerations. And so that would be people who went to prison or were convicted of a crime for which they were later exonerated or found that they had not committed that crime. Unfortunately, when you talk about costs, some of the statistics they provided was average length of stay on those exonerations was 9.6 years, or about 2,000 years in total. So when you just look at fiscal costs, you know, last legislative session, they estimated it was about $141 a day to incarcerate someone at the prison in North Dakota. Well, for 1 year, that would be $51,000. So if that average length of stay applied in North Dakota, we're talking almost $500,000 to incarcerate an innocent individual. And I want people to remember, it's not just about the fiscal cost, but the social cost this has on our system as well, where if someone is innocent and they're locked up, how, you know, they can lose their right to housing and they can lose their employment, and all of that is necessary in order to have productive society. So we do play an important part of that, and it's more than just providing that attorney. It's keeping the system moving. In North Dakota, for example, we handle, as public defenders, whether our in-house attorneys or our contract attorneys, we handle about 77 to 80% of the felonies across the state of North Dakota. So if we don't have attorneys, those cases can't move forward.
Right.
So if we don't get this, if we don't get this figured out, the system could grind to a slow and ultimately eventually a halt.
And it's happening in other states, Alabama. I mean, the South is notorious for this. And, you know, we're almost done here. But the one thing we haven't talked about that I think is important is the toll it takes on these lawyers. I was a federal public defender. My law partner, Bruce Ringstrom, was a state public defender. And both of us went into private practice, not because we couldn't hack it, not because we didn't like the clients, but because the caseload made it so if you cared and you were trying, it was either your whole life or you were making mistakes. Even the best lawyers, at some point, if you have too many cases, you're going to make a mistake. And if you care about this work, and most of us do, that haunts you. And so I want to shout out to the people who are doing that public defense work right now in North Dakota and elsewhere. We see you. It's the hardest work there is, and I really hope the legislature hears this and this is really taken seriously. So, Travis, thanks for coming. What is the last, you got 10 seconds, you take us out. What do people need to know or need to do to make this better?
Yeah, I think just bringing attention to the issue, and the reality is if it wasn't for the men and women that are doing this every day in the field, whether they're attorneys or secretaries working for us, or our contract attorneys who are contracting with us, we wouldn't be able to still have a system that's running the way we do. So I just always take any chance I can to express my gratitude for those people that are doing the work in the field and really give us the inspiration to continue to try and make the system better. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on and talk about this important issue.
Thank you, Travis. We appreciate it. We are Afternoons Live. This is Dane DeCray in for Tyler Axness.